Hi, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Got a little bit of the surfers going on here. I felt like we all kind of needed a vacation after everything we've gone through in the last couple of months. I figured I'd just bring you right on with me. I like my background. It's out over Hawaii. Some of the surf atmosphere there. I love that atmosphere. Actually, I love California and all the ocean. And if you know me, if any of my friends know me, you know that I love the ocean anyway. So anyway, I hope you're having a great week so far. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. I hope you've had a wonderful weekend and are doing okay. Try not to be too stressed out with what's going on in the nation. I know there's a lot of things going on right now with regard to people needing the truth, and they're wanting to know, you know, what God is saying. And I'm actually hopefully going to encourage you a little bit today. But from my perspective and what God is showing me, hey, Tammy, hi, North Carolina, right on. I've got a good friend in Greensboro, North Carolina, actually. Very cool. One of my close friends. So yeah, great place. But God shows me from the perspective of for front runners and intercessors. And when I bring the prophetic word forward for people, and so it's to kind of help the front runners know what's going on, how to pray, things like that, so that you don't get too stressed out. But I realize, you know, the times that we live in right now, everybody's wanting answers for different things, and we're wanting to know why things haven't happened yet, you know, what's going to happen. And I'm just going to hopefully encourage you along those lines today and let you put two and two together. Believe it or not, I believe that the Lord is telling me right now the reason why we haven't seen some of these changes yet is because God is wanting the sons and daughters of Issachar to rise up. Hey, Cynthia, good afternoon. But he's wanting the sons and daughters of Issachar to rise up in dominion power. We've been waiting on God, and God has been waiting on us. And I'm going to get into this, and you're going to understand this a whole lot more once I get into it. But let's just jump on in. The title for today is True Dominion Power, Seizing Thrones Illegally and Falling Back into the Flesh. How many people feel like you're seeing people fall back into the flesh right now? Because I sure do. I sure most definitely do. I'm seeing it all around me right now. And people that do what's right in their own eyes. They don't care who it affects. They don't care who they run over. They don't care. They just don't care, because the flesh is all about itself. And so we're seeing this take off right now. And with regard to how the enemy is operating through people. Hey, James, how the enemy is operating through weaker vessels, immature vessels, and even people that don't know God. Even people that don't know God. And God told us this would happen. He said this would happen. And so, I'm so sorry. Sorry. The enemy's hitting all of us right now. I think a lot of people are getting hit with frustration. They're getting hit with fear. Hey, Stacy. And if you're getting hit with any of these negative emotions, it may even be more than that. You need to take them captive. We're in C2 right now. Hey, BP. We're in C2. C2 is a pressuresome time. I told you guys this was going to happen. I told you that the enemy was going to come at us that way. Because remember, C2 is all about holy fire, pressure, dealing with and contending with strange fire. So you've got two types of fire as you're moving through C2, heading towards the eye of the needle. How well do you take a test? How well do you stay on task? And how well do you stay aligned with the truth? Other than that, what's the enemy hitting you with right now? My experience as intercessors, we've been telling our teams, how many of you feel like you're not able to hear as well or see as well? That's what the enemy's hitting you with. He's hitting your communications, trying to stop Christians' ability to hear God's directives and his holy angels trying to get those directives to you. You need to be freeing your angels. They cage them, melt the cages, Psalms 104:4 fire, and then strike down all weapons coming at your communications right now so that you can continue hearing. Also remember too, witchcraft has this innate capability, as does Jezebel, because Jezebel's the mother of witchcraft. You know you get around that spirit when you start feeling a an inability to hear, an inability to see. Its main objective is to stifle the true prophets. So that's why it seeks to get into the highest office, have the highest platform in the land, to infect, I-N-F-E-C-T, as many people as it can through its heart of bitterness. So you want to avoid Jezebels. I'm being very serious. Bind them out of your atmospheres. You don't want any of this mess polluting your gifts. That's one thing. The other thing, witchcraft. They're trying to purposefully cause you to get sidebarred. Be very careful about that. So break the weapons off so that you can continue moving through C2. Remember, it's a battle of the mind. C2 is a battle of the mind. And we're dealing again with strange fire. And the enemy's witchcraft is releasing major blanketing spells to stop our ability to hear and see, or to block your fivefold gifts. Break them off. Strip them off. 2 Samuel 2:21. Pardon me. They're also trying to get the body so hopeless that we quit and give up. But if you again remember, C2 is a refining place. And it's the place where we find out the will of God in all situations that concern us. Did you know that? It's a refining place. Why do you think that God called it refiner's fire? So he's trying to refine your vision. He's trying to refine the fate of the nation. He's trying to refine the fate of your dreams, helping you to see what's of God, what's of you. So from April 30th through September 15th, it's a refiner's place. It's also a determining place to see how obedient you've been in past seasons, to get free from gunk in your heart. How obedient are you in maintaining God's ways so that you can continue to progress through C2 into C3? So now we're coming into the last portion of the lower dimensions of God's heart. I hear you, Lord. I forgot all about that. Let me put this up on the board real quick. Thank you, God. This is something that God showed me, a prophetic diagram 35 years ago, actually. He took me into heaven. And I put this on the board for you to see. I'll take it off here in a second. But it's a prophetic diagram, and it's not the best drawing. It's my depiction about what I felt like I saw God showing me in the spirit. It's a prophetic diagram of God's end time army. And if you know anything about the Lord, he's raising up an end time army. You've read the book. Hopefully you read the end of the book. You know we win. In this vision that I had with the Lord, and God, he's taken me into heaven many, many times. I don't mean that braggadociously. It's just a fact of my life. It's part of being a front runner, but he's taken me in and out of heaven many times. I love going there because I learn a whole lot there, and it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun. But in this particular instance, he started asking me about his armed forces, and I saw Jesus as the angel of the Lord with his wings outstretched, and on his right arm, a third of his wings were clipped out. And I said, Lord, that's funky looking. What happened to you? And he said, I hide my angels in my wings. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I said, what happened to you? What happened to your right wing? And he said, this is where a third of my angels fell. This is the third that were clipped out. So I lost a third of my wings there. He said, you want to know who's going to replace him? And I said, I do. Nosily, I did. I'm a curious George. I wanted to know. And he said, you and my fivefold ministers are going to be the ones that are going to rise up as sons and daughters of Issachar, knowing the signs and the times, knowing how to command angels, knowing how to sit beside me in heavenly places. You. And so basically God showed me this vision. It was in 2000. And he said, those of you with the gift of love on you, front runners, because I am love, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are a part of the 144,000, my Joel 2:5 army. So I'm going to blip that out. We're going to move on to the rest of the story. I've got a really, really encouraging prophetic word from you. If you don't track with Nate Johnson, you need to. He's a phenomenal prophet. And I'm not trying to repeat and repeat here. I don't do this either normally unless I really, really find it imperative and it tracks along with what God's showing me. But we're trying to figure out the fate of the nation right now. Would you not agree? We're trying to figure out where we're going. This is half of our frustration, half of, I think, America's fear right now. You don't want to get into fear. Perfected love cast out fear. But the other part of C2, actually, is finding out the fate of your dreams. I've talked about that. And I think Nate Johnson gave a great depiction about what's going on right now with why we've had to wait so long. So I really felt led to read this to you, where he said that, he said, I was driving yesterday when I had a vision of many tree roots that were hidden under the ground. The trees had been cut down below the soil and the grass had grown back over them over time, but the roots were still laying there. And then I heard the Lord say, I'm pulling out the roots. And this is the season God is dealing with roots so he can launch you forward. There are many situations you had dealt with in the past that had been hanging over you because the roots were still intact, holding you, chaining you to a season you are no longer a part of and to a battle you have already fought. But watch, says the Lord, as over the next few months, God takes an axe to every looming situation that has been stealthily keeping you in limbo. It's a time for a fresh break. It's a time for a fresh slate. There are spiritual ties being cut to people and places you didn't even know you were still attached to and that God is bringing finality to. Decades of bondage and unresolved injustices against you are being brought to light and being washed and covered in the blood of Jesus. Where you are going is going to require you to lose the monkey on your back, the python around your neck, and the muzzle from your voice. This is the cleanup you need to break all ties with apathy, confusion, and internal conflict you've been living in so that you can embrace the new roads before you. Don't let the momentary discomfort stop you from seeing God deliver you from giants you didn't even know were still taunting you from the sidelines. But watch as the freedom of the Lord comes upon you in ways you've never experienced. Then, in the same place as the roots, God will establish strong foundations and build something new upon it. In the place of former devastations will spring up new movements that carry the fresh wind of the Spirit. Do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? Why do you think the enemy has been hammering down on you so hard? Why do you think? And the rest of this word, and I didn't read all that yet. I just read the rest of that just now. Pardon me, that's the first time. But in C2, the part of refiner's fire, the job of refiner's fire is to refine the calling of God on your life. And for this generation, right in line with what the Lord has been showing me, and I believe what the Lord is showing him, it's good to know I'm hearing the Lord. I mean, I don't go read the prophets, by the way. I don't really track with a lot of prophets. I track with Kat Kerr, and I track with Kurt Landry here and there. Tim Sheets, another really, really good one. I really, really track with, but I track with people, and this is a new guy, so I haven't really heard a whole lot about him, but I love his heart. I love his word. I track with people that really, really operate in love, that really show the warm love, warm, unconditional love of Jesus. And so God has been talking to me about how he's refining us in this process. He's refining us as a nation. He's refining our dreams. He's refining our hearts. And a lot of us have gotten really stuck because of the past, really. And people that want to hold on, they don't want to let you go. They don't want to let go of what they think they know is right. And you're just kind of like, I don't know about you, but I'm just kind of like, get away from me. Shaking off. It's like shaking off a cockroach. It's like, yeah, get away from me. But you know what I mean? It's kind of like, move on already. Move on. So that's what's going on. I believe he's talking about the fate of the nation, the fate of the calling of God in your life. And this is what he told me. For this generation, the Lord showed me that he's done a permanent separating. Have you noticed him doing a deeper separating the sheep from the goats? Meaning those that are following Jezebel, the Lord says, they don't know me. That's what he said. They don't know me. He said, those that are God's children and that are still following Saul, those Sauls and Jezebels are losing power now. Their weapons and anointings, even if for evil, are being disintegrated by God himself to where they will never harm his true sheep again. This is where your freedom is coming from. So you're learning the truth from a lie. He's separating out the truth from a lie, even in people, to where he's making it plain. He's making the truth from a lie plain. People that serve lies or serve themselves, they're being exposed. It's so plain, and yet they're so blind to it. People that are operating in truth, you're an offense to everybody's path you come across because of the power that Christ is operating in through your life. Because there's a difference between truth and a lie. People don't like the truth. If you haven't noticed, they get offended by truth these days. They try to shut down the truth these days. So yeah, this is where we're at right now. So in this season, God has taken his true sheep. To me, this was a comfort to me. This was deeply comforting to me. He said, in this season, I'm taking my true sheep within my robe, Psalms 104:2, and I'm walking them through this spiritual illusion of darkness, that even through the pressure, C2's pressure, it's becoming so great. Even though it's becoming so great, the Lord told me that with C2 comes refining fire pressure to see how well we listen to the King, how much we trust and follow his directives, and then keep casting down the strange fire. We have an ability now to discern the truth from a lie, and we're striking down the strange fire, the vain imaginations. And he's starting to shake people's trees. Hebrews 12:27, he's starting to shake the trees, and he's starting to shake ours too, and shake dead fruit off the low-lying branches. He's shaking people out of our lives. He's doing the further separating, making it plain, making it obvious. And so God's trying to see which God we're going to choose to serve. If we're going to serve him or the Sauls and the Jezebel, it's a test to see how easily we're duped into following other gods, or if we truly can discern the voice of the only true and living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the fourth thing that he's doing, the fourth thing that you need to be doing too, totally in this season, you need to be breaking off early death assignments and freak accidents as we've entered into the season of Basilisk. I told you from April 30th through August 31st, the season of Basilisk starts. That brings in barrenness and drought. So you need to be binding that too. Barrenness, drought, early death assignments, and freak accidents every day. Every day. Over you, your families, extended families, animals, and your angels. Angels get hurt too. So you need to be looking out for your angels, feeding your angels. Psalms 34:12-14. Do that. Matter of fact, let's do it right now. Father God, through the power and authority of Jesus Christ, with Luke 10:19, Father, we're seated beside you in heavenly places. Colossians 3:1-3. And Father God, you told us that we would judge angels. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. But for right now, we're asking you, Father, to give us the strength that we need to move into this new place with you, and that you would feed the angels, our guardian angels, sentry angels, all the angels, 2 Kings 6:16, even the angels in our tribes that have been given charge over our life. Psalms 34:12-14, feed them, God, with manna from heaven. Strengthen them, Father God, and strengthen us too. Isaiah 40:31. So that those that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles, will run and not grow weary, will walk and not grow faint. I also ask you, Father God, to bring in our holy angels from the next dimensions higher, to back up our angels that are fighting for us, to move us out of the old and into the new, in Jesus' name. So, coming into the season of Basilisk, we've entered into it. Told you what that brings with it. Don't get stuck in that barren place. So, what we're really waiting on, this is what I found out, what we're really waiting on in order for America to get her freedoms back. The Lord showed me that God is waiting. Now, wouldn't this make sense too? God is waiting on his sons and daughters of Issachar to step up into dominion power over the earth. We only have a third of the body, 85% of the body stuck in some point of contraction point too. They got stuck. Can you see why people get stuck? Can you see how hard this is? This is difficult to make it through contraction point too. But they're stuck. And so we have a third of the body fighting. But all it took, if you know anything about Gideon, all it took were a few good, pure-hearted men and women of God to fight and win that battle. And he started off, I think, with 3,000 men, and God whittled them down to 300. You ever seen that movie called 300? You need to go check out that movie about the Spartans. Awesome movie. Awesome movie for warriors. But he's getting us down to pureness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But he's also seeing who will step up into dominion power over the earth. Because the enemy, this is the reason why the enemy's trying to kill off people. We've already talked about this, where they're trying to use, what do they say, depopulation, all that mess. You want to know why they're trying to do that? Because the enemy knows you have power and dominion over the earth. Go read Genesis 1. He knows that if we find out who we are, he's fixing to get his butt spanked. He already is. They're getting their butts spanked all over the place by people that are already stepping up into this place. And they don't know what to do. They're like, we got to hurry this thing up. We got to speed this agenda up. We got to amp things up, because they're getting scared. That's what they're. So you got to shift your thinking off the natural over into the supernatural. You can't be thinking and just looking at what you see with your natural eyes, because your eyes will fail you. So the enemy's trying to kill off this generation because we have the ability to overthrow them with dominion power. But the church has been so immature that it's been demanding to stay sucking their thumb, thinking that God's going to do this job for them. God's not doing any more than he already did on the cross. He finished it all. He's waiting for us to do our part. So God has sent a troop of frontrunners with dominion power, the gift of love. Hello, some are given the gift of joy, others faith. Very, very few are given the gift of love. Hello, God is love. That's God putting his spirit on a vessel from birth and birthing himself with that vessel into the earth, because he wasn't going to send these vessels into battle alone. So he sent himself with us, like he did himself with Jesus Christ, came down in the form of a man. We still had to go through the salvation experience. We still had to get spirit filled in order to be qualified. Many are called, few are qualified, so that we wouldn't get stuck in a spirit of religion. And then we had to fight that battle too. That's another topic for another day. But God is using these vessels to take dominion over the witches and the Satanists, to where we're allowing Christ to shatter all their unholy structures that they're trying to build on all seven mountains, on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal levels. But in order for that to happen, we have to stand up in dominion power. You have to know who you are. As sons and daughters of Issachar, knowing the signs and the times, being able to move through God's heart, through his clock, the Maseroth. Go read Revelations if you don't know what that is. It's in the Bible. But in order to do this and move through his heart with force, you've got to know who you are. Hey, Hillary. Good afternoon. This is what I believe this fourth people group is going to do through Christ on their lives. And this is what Kurt Langer was talking about. This is, you have to track with these people over time. There's a pattern in the way that God does things. And you got to be able to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And it's actually really, really fascinating when you start figuring this stuff out. And you're like, wow, this is making sense to me now. This is all making sense to me now. And believe me, it's all supernatural. This isn't just about the natural. So this is what Kurt Langer was talking about. And I believe that we're being used by God to take God's angelic forces back. Did you know that the witches and the Satanists have been using God's forces against you? This is going to sound crazy, Trent. They know how to command angels better than you do, better than we do. Because they've been doing their trade for long hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. So they've been releasing this, and this is what drives me nuts, is that they have been using the word of God and the Hebrew Torah frontwards, backwards, layered, structured, written, or spoken. But because we haven't known who we were, we didn't know. Lamentations 3, 37 through 38 states that if God didn't speak it, it has to fall to the ground. If you're in the courts of heaven and operating there, you need to be using that scripture all the time. All the time. So this is what they're trying to do to hold you down. And you need to be commanding all of God's angels and the unholy forces, the demons, to stand down. Know who you are and whose you are. Luke 10:19. So in this new place we're standing in, how well do you follow instructions and how well do you take a test? And how much deliverance are you willing to obtain in order to obtain that new power from on high? Because that's the only way you're going to get it. And it's the only way you're going to stand up and be seated beside Christ in heavenly places, knowing who you are and whose you are. Without it, you remain blind. You remain powerless. And believe it or not, we still have people fighting for their right to defend that powerless position. Can you imagine? I'm like, knock yourself out. I'm busy doing other things. See you later. Have a nice life. I don't have time. I don't waste my time anymore. It's moot. Why do I want to argue about theology and doctrine? That's just retarded. We don't have time. We're too busy trying to take back kingdom. So let's move into the message. It takes us to 1 Kings 2:1-3:2. And it's talking about this generation's throne is under attack. The King David's. Do you know that? How did they do it? During this time, this was a time where King David was about to pass away and his son Adonai was about to die for trying to illegally take the throne that was never his. This is also being done today through witches and Satanists against the church or against the true sons and daughters of Issachar because the enemy knows we hold the power. How are they doing it? This is going to trip you out. God's been showing me and taking me into the enemy's camp again. So let's go back to King David. King David was actually, this was a time when he was trying to warn Solomon, which represents the next generation of David's, about those who would try to come for his throne. There are always going to be people vying for your throne illegally. Always. People that want power without doing what God says they have to do in order to get it. Everybody wants what everybody else has got, but they're never willing to go through what they've gone through to get it. Which is such arrogance to me. It's such arrogance. It's like, who do you think you are? Really, I mean, as though God would give it to you. God will not ever give an abusive vessel power. He won't. Now, if there's a difference between truth vessels and people not liking the truth versus abuse. Completely different. And we live in such an immature society right now, emotionally. Everybody's emotionally driven, flesh driven, to where they think, it's all about how I feel. Don't hurt my feelings. You're not speaking the truth in love. No, you need to grow up and you need to realize sometimes the truth hurts. And you need to grow up and quit making everybody around you so miserable because everybody's sick of walking around or on eggshells around your immature little butt. It's time for you to grow up. So this is the place the church is at in this crossroads. And you'll notice, if I don't know about you, this is what I've experienced, where people get really nervous in the church when you start speaking truth to them. It's like, why does the truth make you nervous? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. What do you think he did when he walked around the people that were in his church selling their wares? Do you think he was speaking the truth to them in love? No, he had a cat of nine tails. He was whooping them up one side and down the other with his cat of nine tails, telling you, get out of my church with your wares. You're not selling this brand of love here. It's not me. Get out. Same way he dealt with Jezebel. He said, don't tolerate that spirit. He hates it because it pollutes his church body. But anyway, back to this. David was warning Solomon about those who would try to come for the throne illegally. And he wanted him to know where the enemy was hiding. Do you know where the enemy's hiding? How well have you served your generation? Because although David had made mistakes, he served his generation very, very well. Are you serving your generation well by keeping them abreast and continuing to pass the mantle along and continuing to speak the truth, even when people don't want to hear it? Because we're in a season where the devil is trying to steal thrones. He's trying to steal the authority of the true sons and daughters of God. He's trying to steal the authority of the true apostles and the true prophets. How's he doing it? He's doing it through the demonic spirit of Jezebel and Saul, which occur where the enemy uses demonic front runners. Hello, Jezebel's the front runner for the Antichrist spirit. And leaders, Saul was a leader, who have chosen to stay in the old wine where neither have no power. So they
get desperate and they try to seize it illegally. The Lord's saying, guard yours. You have the right to say no and get thee behind me, devil. I don't have a relationship with you. I'm not submitting to the devil on you. People try to illegally abuse their authority and make you feel guilty. You're not submitting to it. No, I don't have a relationship with you. I don't even go to your church. Get thee behind me. Get out of here. You're a power grubber. That's what I call them, power grubbers. People that want the power, but they want it for evil purposes because they're power driven. They're not love driven. Matter of fact, love doesn't drive you. Love leads you. You know the difference, hopefully. But this occurred where Adonai, David's son, was illegally trying to steal Solomon's throne by almost tricking his mother, Bathsheba, into helping him. And he had illegally claimed one of David's concubines, which was equal to claiming the throne itself, where he had made premature plans for a wedding. But instead, he wound up at his own funeral. This is a really serious part of the conversation because it's leading us right into where we're walking right now as a body of Christ. So the Lord's saying, be very careful in this hour when you touch holy vessels, because God's power is coming in and resting on those vessels. And he's not going to be sharing it with wannabes or traitors or Jezebel nor Saul. He's not. And he said, and you can stand on your platforms and you can spew your supposed truth or your lies that you've convinced yourself of because you think you're immune to God's judgment. The whole time, God's got you in his crosshairs. Jezebel. Saul. Saul had his chance. Jezebel's never had a chance. That's never been God's child. She's the frontrunner for the Antichrist spirit. But Saul had his chance, but he continued doing what was right in his own eyes. And Jezebel was always an usurper of true authority. But in this season, it's going to cost those who operate in this spirit. It'll cost you more than you're ever willing to pay. They'll lose their ministries if they have one. They'll lose their positions of power, and some will lose their lives. This is on all seven mountains. And the body of Christ hates to hear this kind of stuff. They're like, oh, God, you're one of those. No, actually, I'm not. I'm just telling you what he told me to write today. This is actually out of the Bible. You can go look it up in 1 Kings 2, 1 through 3. 1 Kings 2, 1 and then 3, 2. But many arrogant people think that just because judgment and discipline hasn't happened to them yet doesn't mean that they're not in God's radar. Because God's a just God. And he's not going to announce, if you know anything about any type of a ruler or anything about the Lord, he's not going to announce when he's going to strike an enemy. Or a willfully disobedient child, the Sauls. And if you're a Balaam or a Jezebel, your best bet is to hit your knees because you're in God's crosshairs already as we speak. If you're one of these people who act like you're very, very godly in front of the camera or on a platform and you're acting differently behind the scenes and you're abusing people, mistreating people, you're speaking curses, or you could be even so brazen to be on your platform. I'm seeing this too. People that are so brazenly arrogant, making threats from a platform at other people. How arrogant and stupid is that? God's like, yeah, let them fall. Let the chips fall where they may. I'm seeing this stuff. It's unbelievable to things I'm seeing right now. And then we wonder why the church is a mess. Church is a mess because people don't want to change. They want to do what's right in their own eyes. They want to fight their own battles without realizing God or God's ways are not our ways. And if we're going to come up into kingdom power, we're going to have to start practicing his ways and start dealing with the elephants in the room. I just told a leader this the other day where had we been dealing with these elephants in the room, none of this crap would even be going on. We would have had a body that was growing in power and growing in might. But nobody wants to deal with the truth. Everybody wants what they want and forget who they run over in the process of getting there. And so this is what we're dealing with right now. So in this hour, let's move forward. We don't want to be falling back into the flesh because God's raising up a new breed of warrior. During this season, the church is going to have a very, very difficult time coming back into all truth. I don't know about you, I'm already seeing that too. Because the church has fallen so far away from God's love and what God says love is. The church has fallen back into the flesh to where so many will choose to stay with no firepower. That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. Why would you want to go back where there's no power? Part of it's fear driven. That's what I believe. It's fear driven. The other part of it is pride, where people think that they're so right, they're willing to die for their right to be wrong. And sometimes we can think we're so right when we're so very, very wrong. Because even though you perceive that you're standing in righteousness, you perceive you're standing in truth, perception is reality. But what if your perceptions are skewed? Excuse me. I could say screwed. Yeah, that would be probably true. Skewed. What if your perceptions are skewed? What if you have a warped sense of perception, meaning you need healing? And that means you're not going to view life through the right lens. You're not going to view truth through the right lens. So the only way to come up above it is to step into healing and to step into love or God's spirit his way through deliverance and learning to do things the way love does things. In this season, all your past accusers, if you're faithful, if you're obedient, they're going to lose their ability to accuse you any longer, as God is causing their voices to lose power. Not just their vessels, but their voices, which have already started because of lack of obedience when God told them to quit putting their mouths on his children. So this is also something I've noticed too. You know, I don't know. I sit there, I look from the sidelines and I look at different people, and I don't agree with everybody. I don't agree with everybody, but part of my job, and I have to be careful too, part of my job is a double truth portion on my sword, is that I'm called to help bring the glory and the love back to the Lord of my life. There are others like me, but part of that entails speaking the truth. So a lot of people misperceive my actions as, well, what about you? You're tall, not everybody. I'm just speaking the truth and trying to help you hopefully want to go get deliverance. That's what my heart's desire is. I want to see you whole and healed. But there's a difference between that and getting caught up in accusing people or getting caught up in just bashing, things like that. And so, I mean, some people, I have to say though too, I can understand people's frustration because some people deserve it. It's like, God, I can't believe, I don't even know how you wake up every day because of the way people behave. But it's the elephants in the room that God's talking about. It's the elephants in the room. God wants these elephants dealt with. And so the people are like, we're so tired of hearing this message, Dr. Missy. When are you going to move on? I'm like, well, you know, as soon as you decide to change, God's trying to get the church to change. Because I don't know about you, but have you seen your nation lately? We haven't moved forward like we want to yet. So we haven't got enough people raising up as sons and daughters of Issachar into true dominion. You want to know why? Because no one wants to get free. No one wants to deal with their heart condition, which leads to power if you get free. So there's a method to God's madness here. He's not crazy. But I think some of his sheep are because they refuse to listen to the truth. Wow, I didn't expect that to come forth. So let's go. So because of arrogance in this hour, many think that they have a right now because they've lost power. They're losing power. So they're getting desperate to obtain it somehow. The occult's always been desperate. They've never had power. But then we have people in the body who are desperate for it, so they're trying to illegally obtain it, and they think it's their right to sit on thrones that were never given to them. That's called from a spirit of entitlement. And the Lord says to you people that do this, he says, you only want power for selfish motives because you're self-serving, which is why I will not ever give it to you. You're a tomb of dead men's bones, a pit of vipers, or a rebellious children, just like your father, the devil. Only those who operate in righteousness will hold my scepter in this season, from this season on. Because God's only allowing righteous people to be in power if they can hold on to the throne. You've got to be careful about who you let around you. You've got to watch out for motives. It matters. You become who you hang around. And not everybody that says, friend, friend, or Lord, Lord, knows the Lord. And not everybody that says friend, friend is really your friend. That's the spirit. 1 John 4:3, ask God to unfold a thing and show you who people are to you and the motives of their hearts. especially in America right now. Because those that don't serve love won't be in power very long. Be careful who you vote for. I'll be blunt and say that. Psalms 97:2 states it best. Clouds and thick darkness surrounded him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. God said, how you know my people? By my love. They will be men and women of integrity. They are who they say they are in front of the camera and behind the camera. Flaws and all. This is me. That's my people. I'm not hiding anything from you. I got to be me. I got to be me. You ever heard that song? Anyway, whatever. Okay, so let's move on. Acts 5:1 through 42 talks about pretending, obeying, and those that oppose. This is going to start making sense to you. Put the pieces of the puzzle from the first part with this. This is going to blow your mind. So it's talking about Barnabas. I never knew this about Barnabas. But Barnabas had an innate gift. He had an innate gift which gave him the ability to expose pretenders. He was an encourager, but he also had an ability to draw people out, to show who they really, really were, like Ananias and Sapphira. Or just like Mary's gifts exposed Judas's sin, where these people lied to themselves and the church and the Holy Spirit. And it cost them everything. Cost it all. They paid it all. Ananias and Sapphira's sin was not because they took money from God, but it was because they pretended to be something they were not. Ever seen people like that? False prophets, false apostles. This is going to cost you in this season. People don't think this is truth because we haven't actually seen it happen yet. But I don't know about you. The God I serve is a supernatural God. And everything's made beautiful in its own time. And so just because that sounds like a really flowery statement that I just said too. But death is not that flowery when it's popping up all around you and you're hearing about people dying and dropping dead and things like this. That's not very fun anymore. It makes you stop and think about things like, what's going on here? Is this God? Is this judgment? Which leads us into obeying. Because dealing with sin often results in new power for the church. Did you know that? When we obey God, we get free. We get delivered, which makes more room for a holy God to take up residence in us. That's how he makes room for himself. In our obedience, dealing with our own heart conditions. And can you imagine a church so full of Jesus that people had a fear of joining? You know what that really is? That's a fear of stepping into the truth. Did you know that? Because your sin will find you out if you're hiding anything. I'm not being negative. I'm shooting straight up with you. When you get around truthful people, people that really have a laser light beam prophetic gifting, and they operate in the truth, don't you get kind of intimidated? I do. I'm like, oh, God, I hope I'm aligned. I'm repenting, and I'm like, Lord, deal with me. You always want to be straight up with God. I'm not kidding, because when you get around his spirit, he's going to expose everything. He's drawing near his people in this hour, his true vessels, his sons and daughters. He's drawing near. He's finding who he can land on. He's looking for vessels who are pure-hearted. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. People that are ready to house his spirit with might and power. And these are usually groups of believers full of truth, because Jesus is the truth. And when people aren't ready to deal with truth, they usually do one of three things. They deny, or they even lie to themselves, or they run away for fear of being exposed, or they slander the truth bearers because their thinking is that by doing so, they'll sway enough listeners to join them in their sin. This is the strategy of Jezebel. Because in this church, and the power of the resurrected church, even Peter's shadow had power because of the way they walked so closely with love. Interesting. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, this moving us forward into the Saul grouping, the people that operate in the spirit of Saul, They were the Sauls of their hour, but they couldn't tolerate the evidence of resurrection power. You want to know why? It's so lame. Because it wasn't them housing it. Isn't that selfish? Selfish, selfish, selfish. Well, if I can't have it, neither can you. How selfish and childish is that? God said, want to bet? Watch me bypass you. Watch me. Of course, there's no respecter of persons. I said I'd do it for all. If I do it for one, I do it for all. I didn't tell you you couldn't have it. I just said you had to go about it and go about attaining my power, go about stepping into love a certain way. So, because it wasn't them housing the power, they were the ones who chose to stay stagnant, then they were the ones who began harassing and arresting the truth bearers because they refused to operate in God's truth. They didn't want to step into the place where God told them to because they thought they knew more than God. How perverse is this type of thinking? This is what we're dealing with in today's time. It's happening in the church right now. So when God clearly changes us, when God clearly charges us to obey him and not men, we're doing pretty good today. Doing pretty good. God will always test our faithfulness. He's always going to test our loyalty to him to see who we're going to serve. I don't know about you. God's charging us to quit serving ourselves and to quit trying to people please and start becoming loyal to him. He's looking for warm, loyal, loving, godly people. Because we each have a choice. And in this season, God's looking for people who demand that all their relationships understand that God is king. Remember me telling you on Friday, I was talking about my best friend and the stipulation that she gave me in order to be friends. She said, you know, you and I'll get along beautifully as long as you never come in between me and my relationship with God. And I was thinking, why would I do that? But I didn't understand what she was saying. It took me a few years to figure that out. But then I started watching her and observing her and realizing everything she stood for, God was number one. She always put God first. She always put God first. She would never negate the truth. She'd call me out on things. I was wrong and I would obey. I would submit to the Spirit of the Lord on her life because I knew she was the real deal. The Lord on her life. And you meet people like this, and they really do stop. They walk in truth, and they refuse to compromise. And this is the type of people we're going to have to be if we're going to make it through all the witchcraft. Because let me tell you, in C2, witchcraft is through the roof. It's through the roof. And so we're constantly tested with which fire we're going to walk in. We're going to operate in strange fire, or we're going to operate in holy fire. And I've noticed that the body, people that listen and they want to hear the truth, they want to change. They want to be changed. They're open to it. They're open to God changing them. They're saying, Lord, look at me. See if there's something in me that doesn't align with you so that I can continue accelerating. That's what it's going to take. But when we avoid truth, even about ourselves, we allow Satan to come in and disrupt and confuse and divide our ability to operate in true power. And the Lord said, this isn't a season to test the Spirit of the Lord. This isn't that time. You may not feel like very much is happening, but the Lord's saying, I'm here. I'm on the job. I'm working on your issues. I'm aware of the whole situation in your country. I'm watching. I'm not standing by helpless, just letting you try to fend for yourself. I'm waiting to see who's going to choose to serve me. God's protecting you. He's not just standing on the sidelines watching you suffer. That's ridiculous. And you know, it's interesting in the Bible, if you know anything, there's a gentleman by the name of Gamaliel. He was one of the Pharisees, actually. And he was an expert of the law of the word. He was also a man of wisdom. Gamaliel knew that by attacking the people, speaking the true people, the true apostles and prophets, speaking and teaching the word of God, that they would call judgment on themselves. He knew that these men were going to be, if the Pharisees kept attacking the true apostles and prophets, that their people would stand up and they would create a riot, basically. But he also knew they would get judged by God. So instead, he said that if these apostles that these Pharisees were attacking, if they weren't of God, if these false apostles that are in today's time, these Balaams and stuff, if they're not of God, this is what God is saying for us. Their movement will scatter, as will their people. But if you continue to attack a true follower of God and you know God is there, God will fight their battles. And he'll fight you. Acts 5:39, if something's of God, you can try to keep attacking it. But if you haven't noticed, God has sustained it. And now he's attacking you. You're losing power. So you don't want to be in that people group. You want to make sure you're careful about who you put your mouth on. Because in this season, there are Jezebels and Sauls who are about to fade out. Those Jezebels and Sauls are going, I don't know about you, but I've noticed this too. They're going and they're listening to the true prophets and apostles of God to find out what he's saying because they have no power. So they're regurgitating what they're hearing the true prophets and apostles say. And then they're going back to their own followers, trying to paint themselves as something they're not in Ananias and Sapphira. Careful. Be very careful because they have no power. So you true prophets and you true apostles, quit defending yourself. You don't have to explain yourself away because in due season, God's going to unfold who you are and whose you are. It's coming. And in the meantime, God is fighting your foes. Let's move into Psalms 125, 1 through 5 as we're wrapping up this conversation today. And it's talking about trusting in the Lord. Who do you trust? Because if you trust in him, even when you're walking in a dark place, like I feel like a lot of us are really trying to navigate our way through right now. If you trust in him, you know that he's got you. Has God ever left you in a lurch? Has God ever not shown up? So part of contraction point two then is trying to teach us how to navigate through darkness with when we have a hard time hearing, when we have a hard time sensing the Lord. We have a hard time seeing where he's saying. And even when our communications are cut off, how well do you go back to the last thing God told you to do and obey it until he gives you your next directives? How well and how well do you rest in him during that process? That's the point of contraction point two. It's a testing season. So trusting in the Lord means security and stability when you learn how to trust him. And as God's true remnant moves into their promised lands, Lord is saying, I'm teaching you how to recognize the enemy because he's not rejoicing with you. He's angry that you're taking your throne. He's angry that you're taking your seat beside me in heavenly places for those of you who've chosen to grow up. Why do you think the darkness has gotten so dark? It's because Satan is desperate to stop the sons and daughters of Issachar. Those with true kingdom authority and power. Because that means his time is getting very, very short. And once the glory hits, it also means society will get a taste of the new Jerusalem. You want to know why God's bringing in the latter glory? Lord told me, he said, I'm bringing in the latter glory to give my people a taste of the new Jerusalem. It's a taste of what it's going to be like forever. You really have something to look forward to. To where only people will come in for revival and they'll only want to serve the true and living God because they're going to really taste and see that he's good. It's why we're dealing with so many false illusions at present. We're hearing about food shortages. We're hearing about COVID. We're hearing how many times has that proven itself to be false? It's an illusion. It's a dark illusion. Has God ever not shown up for you again? Has he ever left you in a lurch? Then what are you so afraid of, frontrunner? You're the first to get to the battle and you're the last to leave. Your part of your job is helping people get across their Jordans and then you get to cross over for those who obey and want to listen. The Lord is saying in this hour, quit letting vain imaginations and your emotions dominate you in C2. Cast them down. Stand back up in your most holy faith, so that you can keep moving right on into power and into your blessings. We're going to take up Proverbs, if I can speak, Proverbs 16:25. We're going to wrap this up today, where it states that there is always a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. God's telling us before we even finish the conversation. He's showing us today what's happening. He's telling you all along your pathway, you're doing great. You're staying in alignment. You're listening to truth. Just trust me in this test. Don't look at what the enemy's throwing in your pathway. Don't look at what he's trying to have you refocus on in the natural. Stay focused on the supernatural. Stay focused on the spirit. And I don't know about you, but I quit watching the news. I check in here and there, but not a lot anymore. I just listen to the good news. And it's because I just know God's, I have had peace through this whole process. I know God is faithful to finish what he started. But I also know God didn't give me prophetic words. He didn't give you prophetic words to have you not fulfill them. He finishes what he starts. And it's a part of kingdom building. So what are you getting so focused on the natural for? He's already promised you your blessings were going to come to pass. And the good news is all you got to do is walk it out until you get there. That's our task. I want to thank you guys for joining me today. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. I'm with Ezekiel's Wheel Ministries. This is a 15-minute rev. We do these on Tuesdays and Fridays. I hope you enjoyed it today. I hope to see you back again on Friday. And if you're looking for, if you're a front runner, let me back up on that. If you're a front runner, that means you have to have a grace to front run. If not, you get a lot of backlash and retaliation. But if you want to try to get free and step into calling, come and join us. We'd love to talk to you, to get to know you a little bit. You can contact me at ezekielswheel.org. YeshuaNavigator@gmail.com. We love to get to know you. Again, you have to be called to do that because it's a hefty, I mean, you pay a price to be a front runner, but there are so many more blessings that come with it. And it's a lot of fun. You learn a lot about how to fight witchcraft and stuff like that, but we love to be a part of your journey in that. But until then, I hope you guys have a great Tuesday. I'm going to jump off here today and I'm going to go grab some lunch and then get on to my next thing that I'm doing today. But I hope to see you on Friday. And if I don't, maybe next Tuesday on the 15-minute rep, guys. Be blessed, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.